Designed a master plan. He exchanged the sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left his throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He is
beyond all measure, he is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever, I shall be. He is mine.
Through God's mercy and his grace, he's prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there.
We will praise his perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joys of heaven ours to share.
He is mine.
Beyond all measure, he is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever, I shall be. He is mine.
Oh, he is mine.
Beyond all measure, he is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever, I shall be. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. I shall be.
He is mine.
He is mine.
Praise the Lord. He is mine.
Amen.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Solomon said in the Song of Solomon, I am his and he is mine. My beloved is mine. Amen. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. That's a wonderful relationship, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We belong to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm far more excited that I am his than he is mine.
I am.
I'm glad that he's mine. Now, don't mistake me. But I'm just far more excited that I am his. I belong to the Lord. It's good to see Brother Vic, Sister Wanda Myers with us. Good to have you folks tonight. And we're glad that you could join us in the service tonight. We'll ask Brother Vic to come and close our service in prayer tonight. Good to have this good couple with us. We're glad that you were able to come and worship with us tonight. You have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. I want to do a little bit of a follow-up for the next couple of few weeks leading up to our missions revival. I want to talk with you about missions and maybe some areas of missions that's not discussed much from the pulpit that you ought to know, and that if you've been in church for any length of time, you need to know that this is the way that the Bible says do it. And we're going to hear some good preaching and these passages of Scripture. So I'm not going to get into detail in the first half of it, but I want to get into some detail in the second half of chapter 8. I do want you to do this. Some time ago, I asked you to highlight or underline some words, and I want you, if you did not do that, I want you to do it, because this will help you understand about grace giving. All right? Grace giving is an important ministry in the church. And it's very important. See, I'm a firm believer in this, okay? Once a person gets saved, one of the first things that you want to do to that new convert is teach them the importance of grace giving. Now, why? Because by nature, we're stingy and selfish people. You say, oh, well, not me, preacher. Yes, you. And me. By nature. Okay? So naturally, we're stingy and selfish. But supernaturally, God wants us to be liberal. Now, that's the only way I want to be liberal is in my giving. Somebody say amen right there. And we ought to be willing to give freely because the Bible teaches it. Now, in order to do that, and I've heard this saying a lot, and I want to correct something. I want to help you see what the Bible teaches about this. Well, you know, I give it, and it's their responsibility what's done with it. Well, no, wait a minute. Hold it. Now, I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. We have a responsibility to know that what we're given to, that those funds are going to be handled biblically. Say amen with me now. And so don't you buy into that. Well, I give it, and whoever's heading up that ministry, it's their responsibility how they use it. Well, I wouldn't give to a ministry that I didn't trust that was going to handle God's money properly. Amen. And so I want to caution you, and I want to be cautioned that the Word of God has laid down some principles on how God's money is to be handled. So we don't make these things up. I fear that sometimes we've gotten away from teaching people what the operation of the church is. There was a day when people knew what the operation of the church was, and so when they went into church and things were conducted a certain way, they understood, okay, we're doing this because it's in this book right here. This is not the preacher's idea or the denomination's idea or that particular local assembly's idea. It's the Word of God. And brethren, I've just made it a point, and we have a congregation of people here, and I'm very grateful for it. We want to do things by this book right here. This is what God's going to bless. And so we want to continue to stay just right here in the book. Just stay right here in the book. Amen. Just like I get fired up when I think about Nehemiah, back in Nehemiah chapter number 8. They said, you know what? Tell Ezra to come and bring the book. Amen. Bring the book. We don't want any of these ideas and jokes and stories. Bring the book. Want to hear some Bible preaching. I like it that way. And now, that's the message. But now, the method has to line up with the book, too. So we want God to be pleased with our methodology as well as with our message. So I want to ask you to highlight or underline three words that will help you really get an inside take on this matter of grace giving. In chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, in verse number 1, Paul begins a section in chapter 8 and 9 on grace giving. It is an in-depth. If you will read these chapters and you will just study them, you will get a great handle on what the Bible teaches about grace giving. I think we're going to hear some good preaching. I just feel very confident that this is one of the areas that we'll probably hear some good preaching on in the missions conference. I'm not promising that, but I just feel like the missions revival, this is where we're going to be headed. Now, let me say this. Notice in chapter number 8, verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, that word grace there is used 10 times, or its form, in the next two, in chapter 8 and chapter 9. And it's speaking about the gift or the giving, and it's helping the mission work, the saints in Jerusalem and the mission work, all right? And so he said this, so when we're thinking about this grace here, this grace is a giving grace that is bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. And he said here, now you'll remember this morning, this is what Paul said, remember in Philippians, when he said, you know what, in the beginning of my gospel, when I was in Macedonia, no man communicated with me. Remember that? And I said that was sorrowful. That was disappointing. But obviously some churches had heard of that, and God convicted them. And here's the church at Corinth, and I believe some other churches, they followed suit when they heard that the church of Philippi was giving, and they said, we need to get involved in this too. See, what we do many times, it does encourage other people. It influences them. And that's why it's very important that what we do is right and scriptural, because it will have an influence on those that are watching and on those that we want to influence their lives. And so here is in this church that at one time was not giving. Now Paul said, I want you to wit of the grace of God that's bestowed in verse number 1 on the churches of Macedonia. Now look at this word, the last word in verse number 2, liberality. I want you to highlight or underline that word. Very, very key word, liberality. See, I believe this, and I want you to listen to me, and if you'll think about this, you'll agree with this. The mind, God has so designed our mind to where it grows and it expands as we take in. As we take in, the mind grows and expands. But now God's made the heart differently. The heart doesn't grow as we take in, and it doesn't expand as we take in. The heart grows as we give out. You see, as you take in, your mind grows and it expands. But as you learn to give out liberally, as you learn to become a giving person, you become pliable in the hands of the master. An ungiving person, a person that refuses to give of themselves, of the resources, of the things that God has given them. I've said it often, I heard it many years ago, and I proved it in my own life, you have perhaps too, that God will give through you what God will not give to you. The question is, can God trust me? Can God trust you? Can God trust Fellowship Baptist Church to give hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to world evangelism? Or will we begin to close the coffers and try to keep it for our own and build a dynasty, build an empire? God help us not to go that route. Let us stay focused on the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is not big buildings and stained windows and high price this and that, though there's nothing wrong with having a nice facility. And there's nothing wrong with building buildings and having things, as long as it is to get the souls of men. Because the business of God always comes back, as we're going to see here tonight, to the souls of men. It's not about recreation. It's not all about activity. It's not all about just what we do or do not do. If it doesn't include the souls of men, God's not going to be a big part of it, brethren. And we need to stay focused on the souls of men. So here Paul said, when you give, when you consider this grace giving, don't start out by saying, now God, how little can I give and still be involved in this? No, Paul told these churches here, they were in deep poverty. You read this sometime, and yet they gave of their riches, of their liberality. So you remember that word. That's word number one. Word number two, look if you would, in verse number 8. Now it's not just that we give in liberality, but look at this word in verse number 8. Right there at the end, it says to prove the sincerity. Now here's a second word that is very important in grace giving. See, I don't give and you don't give so someone will know that we're giving. That's not sincere. That's not sincere. See, I really care that people get to the field and spread the gospel, and that people have an opportunity to be saved in the grace of God. And I believe you do too. I believe that. And I believe there are untold hundreds and thousands of Christians that want to get the gospel message out, and they participate in missions giving. And because of that, there is a sincerity. So it's not just throwing money at it. So don't leave here tonight and say, well, you know, we're just going to throw a bunch of money at it after missions conference. We're going to take up the cards and get a bunch of money, and we're just going to throw money at missions. That's not what this missions program is about. There is a sincerity involved with the liberality. If you understand that, say amen. I'm talking to you about grace giving now. Just making it as simple as I know how right here out of the Bible by just using a few words. So there's liberality, and then this word here, sincerity. And you do prove the sincerity of your love when you give to missions. It proves. Listen, we can stand around and talk about the need of the world and lost souls until Jesus comes, or till they all die and go to hell. But if we don't get involved in it and become partners with them, as we talked about this morning, brethren, little is going to be done to change some things. Now here's a third word that I want you to underline. It's in verse number 14. But by an, and I want you to look at this, equality. See that in verse 14? Now you say, well, that means if somebody gives $100 a week to missions, I got to give $100. That's not $100 a week to missions. That's not what it means at all. When you look at the context of what this is saying, it's simply saying this, and I'm going to break it down to you, okay? It's saying equal sacrifice, not equal giving. See, the sacrifice for me to give $10 might be as much sacrifice for you as if you gave 50, or vice versa. So it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. It's equal, as we pray, God is going to use each part to make up the whole. And that's what he's speaking of here. Now, once the money's been given, Paul switches gears to a very important subject. And I'm eager to talk to you about it tonight because I feel that this might be the reason that a lot of people are a little apprehensive about giving to Christian ministries. I don't think it's any secret that over the years, there's been some ministry under the name of Christian that have mishandled God's funds. I mean, and become a terrible testimony. And brethren, we have made it, and it's all by the grace of God now, but we've made it a point to be transparent with our money here and with the offerings and with our finances. That's God's way, transparency. God wants transparency. He wants honesty. He wants integrity. And that is exactly what the apostle was dealing with here. Now, the church at Corinth had many immoral and unjust situations. And Paul is writing unto them, and he's letting them know, now listen, don't you foul this up, basically what he's saying, all right? You might get by maybe being off on this or that a little bit, but when you start messing around with God's money in an unjust way, and you begin to mishandle God's money, and poor stewards of what God's given you, God will shut you down. God will cut you off. So what about these big ministries? They're not being fair. You think God's in that? God's not in that. That's religious racketeering. That's not Bible ministry. Amen. And so don't think that we can mishandle and take lightly what God has given us and not use it properly, and God's still going to keep his hand on this ministry. So we want to be very careful here. I want each person that becomes a part of Fellowship Baptist Church to be able to give with confidence, knowing, you know what, I gave that money to missions, it's going to missions. I gave that money to Vacation Bible School, it's going to Vacation Bible School. I gave that money to Sunday School, it's going to Sunday School. I gave that money to bus ministry, it's going to bus ministry. We gave that money, we voted for that money to be used for the Wild Game Supper. That money is going to be used for the Wild Game Supper. Amen. Why? Because God said so. I want to show you. So I want you to write these words down. I'm going to give you just three simple points, but they're very important. Paul said, all right, we've gathered this collection, we've gathered this grace, we've gathered this gift. Here is a very important thing. Watch what he does here. He said, first of all, he said, there has to be like this selection of a committee. You just can't have everybody handling God's money. And everybody said, the church has to come together and say, we choose, and there it is. You know who the church has chosen? Well, for years, the church chose Benny Short. And then God sent us Tracy and Angela Coleman, and they've been added to that. And then we, by the leadership of God, said, we need a finance committee. Our church has grown to the place to where we need a finance committee. Now, these folks are a part of our finances, and these men have formulated a finance committee. It's God's way. That's for budgets. It's for expenditures. It's for documentation of every dollar, every dime that passes through this ministry. It's all accounted for. And if you attend here, you know that there is a record of that, and you will get a copy of that as it's given to you in what's called a financial report, in which, well, we're going to meet tomorrow night, And we'll go over the finance report, and I'll ask the men as I do any questions, any comments. There may be a question or two, a comment. We'll discuss it, we'll clear it, and then we'll say, all in favor say aye, and we'll say aye. And if everyone agrees, we'll say it's been approved by this staff, and we can pass it on to Fellowship Baptist Church as a body of believers, knowing that every dime, every penny is accounted for. And it's been appropriated to the fund, the ministry, that the budget called for, that the church voted on. That's the way that you stay transparent with God's money and God's people. Amen. You say, now, preacher, what would we be talking about this for? Because you want a church to get to lose its testimony and just a bunch of talk in the community, and you want people to quit giving and withhold their funds and say, now, wait a minute, I don't know if that's going to be used for this or that. Then start mishandling funds. Start pushing things under the table and hiding and misappropriating. God will take his hand off of this thing so quick, brethren, we won't know what hit us. So let's follow some good, clear instruction here. We have, but I want to show you how we come up with this, okay? As a pastor, when we got with our finance committee, with the way we set it up right from the Bible. So watch this, all right? Number one, you select a committee. Notice what he did here, verse 16. But thanks, are you with me? 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. In other words, I'm choosing Titus to handle the money. All right, Titus has been chosen. Now, what kind of man was Titus? I want you to watch how simple this is, okay? Notice what Paul said about Titus here, all right? Titus was a brother, and he was a brother who cared for the ministry, had a heart for Christians. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us, number one, Titus, he's referred to as Paul's fellow laborer. He's a Christian. He's a brother in Christ. No lost man. I don't care. Listen, I don't care how well he does in finances. No lost man should be involved in handling God's money for the church. Amen. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that ought to go without saying. I know it ought to go without saying, but you know and I know that it doesn't. There are churches that choose people based on how good they are at this or how well they do this, and the very last concern that they have is, does Jesus live in their heart? Can I tell you, that's our first concern. Does Jesus live in your heart? Are you saved? Do you have a concern for the church, for the saints? Because if you don't, there's no telling how you may think that money ought to be appropriated. See, God's got a different way than man's way. And so he said here, first of all, he said, I want you to write this word down. I ought to be a saved man. And he ought to be committed. See, and he ought to be trustworthy. I get that out of verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Titus was a saved man. He was committed. He was devoted. He loved the Corinthian believers. He loved God's people. See, that's the kind of person you want over the money affairs in your local church. Not someone that barely shows up and you don't know if he's saved or not. But yeah, but preacher, he's good with numbers. That doesn't mean anything to me, but Benny is good with numbers, amen. But you know, you see what I'm saying? So you want a man saved, in tune with what God's desire is for the ministry, has a heart. Look what he said in verse number 16. Titus had a heart for you, has a heart for God's people. Now here's the second thing that I get from this passage of Scripture. You never get just one person. Now there's a time when you're starting out, then maybe that's what you have. You got 30 people. You've got, you know, you've got to grow. You've got to get trustworthy people. It's just like any other ministry of the church. It grows. But notice what Paul says here. Notice if you would in verse number 18. In verse number 18, and we have sent with him the brother. Now, we don't have his name. Some people say, well, it's Luke. Well, I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't know that it really matters. If it mattered that much, I believe the Holy Ghost would have told us, don't you? So here's the second thing that we learn. Number one, it's got to be a man saved now, tied. It's got to be a man that handles God's fund, that cares about the welfare of the church and Christians, that knows about the operations of the church. Number two, there always has to be at least a second, and as we find here in verse number 22, and we have sent with them our brother. There were three. Why? That by the mouth of two or three witnesses a matter may be established. It's always God's way. Now, what are we learning here? We're learning, and I do not mean this in any way toward Brother Benny, Brother Tracy, Sister Angela, Brother David, the men that are on the finance committee. I don't mean it in any way negative. It's just a fact. Money can cause people to do strange things. And God is always warning us about mammon, about money. Money can become a serious temptation in our lives. And when you have money and it's just one person, there's two things that can come up that can really hurt. Number one, temptation. But number two, maybe as important, if not more important, suspicion. Suspicion. Well, who's proving? Who's checking? How do we know? But you see, when you have two or three witnesses, or in this case, in Fellowship Baptist, and here it was three, but here it's more, there's always room for suspicion. And so God's taking care of that right here, and He's teaching this church, listen, when you've got someone handling the gift, the grace, the money, make sure that he doesn't do it alone. Well, Paul, don't you like Titus? Hey, Titus is my right-hand man. I love Titus, but I'm not going to put Titus in that situation. I'm not going to do that to him. Though I love him, and though he's a good man, and he's committed, and he loves the church, and he loves God's people, he's a man of flesh and blood, and he could be tempted, and he could fall, and I don't want to do that to him or God's work. So we're going to get a brother to be with him. And then we're going to get a third brother. Now, there's some things about these men that I think should make up a finance committee, and I'm just going to point them out to you, and I'll give you another thought, and we'll close with a final thought. So look at this. Titus, committed, saved. Look at verse 18, what the Bible says about this brother. It says, and we have sent with him the brother, watch this, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Man, this guy is excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want him counting the money. Amen. Amen. I want him counting the money. He is excited when people get saved. You know why I want him counting the money? Because that person's never going to say, well, I don't know if we ought to spend that money. Maybe we ought to keep $400,000 in the bank just in case. Right? See, God's teaching us something here. God's teaching us something. You get people handling the money that understands what the church is here for. The church is not here to be a financial institution to see how much money we can save and draw interest in the bank on. Somebody say amen with me now. The church is here to get souls saved. The church is here to get people in. The church is here. Listen, it costs money to get people saved. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, you don't think these lights just come on their own, do you? Hey, man, what little heat we do have, you don't think it just comes on its own, do you? Hey, man, you think that these chairs just magically appear and that we have the sound system and everything that it takes to operate a ministry? You think those things just happen? It takes money to operate ministry. And the chief purpose of a Bible-based ministry is to get people saved. Now, I brought our church calendar tonight, and I did so for a reason. This week, when God was helping me in this message, God reminded me. Now, Dale, he said, you remember what I told you way back. I mean, it's been way back. God called me to be a pastor. God didn't, listen, everybody around me, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be an evangelist. I just knew. God called me to pastor. I just knew it. He said, how did you know it? I can't explain it. God just put it right here in my heart. I want you to pastor. People around me, we're going to be missionaries. We're going to be evangelists. Well, God wants me to pastor. And when I promised God that I would serve him, God said, I'm going to tell you what, you keep it about the souls of men, and I'll stay with you right on through to the end, son. But the minute you get away from what the ministry's about, you're on your own. The minute you forget, the moment you forget what the church is there for, why you're their pastor, then I'm leaving you to yourself. See, I don't want God to leave me to myself. I pray regularly, God, don't leave me to myself. God, I don't want that. I know what I am. I know what I'm capable of. God, please don't leave me to myself. Stick with me, Lord. I need you. Well, then you stay on track. You stay after the souls of men. Stay hot on the trail after the souls of men. Have a log game supper? Give them the gospel. Amen. Have a youth retreat? Give them the gospel. Well, we're going to take them skiing. Then give them the gospel. Have vacation Bible school. Build something immaculate. Make it look like it jumped off the front of some wild-looking magazine. But in the midst of vacation Bible school, give them the gospel. Just keep giving them the gospel. Have men's meeting. Give them the gospel. Ladies' meetings. Give them the gospel. Missions revival. Give them the gospel. No matter what you do, when you do it, you make sure you give them the gospel. There's almost been times that I would stand up here and I would say, you know what? I know all these people. I know they're saved. I know they're going to heaven. They professed it. Why would I want to give them an opportunity to respond to the gospel? And the Spirit of God said, hey, don't you forget what you promised me. Give them the gospel. You give them an opportunity to respond. You don't know them the way you think you know them. So you always give them the gospel. And everything we have done here by the grace of God, and by the grace of God, everything we shall do moving forward, we're going to give them the gospel. Amen. This man, I like what it says in verse 18, we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel. That's the kind of man you want handling the money. You know why? Because when he sits on the finance committee, somebody's going to say, well, we need, what was your budget, Brother Dan? $2,000. We need $2,000. $6,000. I started to say, man, you must have come out of pocket with some of that. $6,000. We need $6,000 for a wild game supper. If he doesn't love the gospel, he won't understand why you're having a wild game supper. Now listen to me now. He'll say, well now, I don't even like hunting. What's all them dead animals doing in the chair? I'm against it. Where's Brother John? I'm against it. We're not giving that money. But if he loves souls, he'll say, now this wild game supper, kind of go over it with me. What's your plan here? Well, we're going to do this and this and this and this. We're inviting a preacher. Man, he's a preacher. He's going to give them the gospel. I'm for giving $6,000 to the wild game supper. Amen. You see what I'm talking about? See, that's what it's about, brethren. That's why the Bible made it very clear right here. You say, well, preacher, what's it doing in that session? God put it here for a reason. When you get people handling money in the ministry of a church, you need to get people to understand the spreading of the gospel. That the church is here to get that gospel out, to get them sinners in, and get them saved. And so he said here in verse number 18, he said, we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel. So first of all, you got Titus. He loves church and he loves the people, the Christians. And then you got this brother. He loves the gospel and the Bible says throughout all the churches. I mean, he's just excited that people, he's not jealous. If they're getting saved in Corinth, praise God. If they're getting saved in Galatia, praise God. If they're getting saved in Colossae, praise God. He's not jealous. He's just glad they're getting saved. That's the kind of man you want handling the money. Right? How many churches have you seen not reach God's fullest potential because you got some person sitting on some finance committee or in some place where they got their clinches on the money bag and they're saying, well, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to afford $6,000 for a wild game supper. We only have $3 million in the bank. It happens, brethren. You know what? While we're sitting here... And I mean this, while we're sitting here thinking, you know, that's something. Surely that doesn't happen, preacher. More than you could imagine. There are churches that have, I mean, these humongous bank accounts. And somebody comes in and says, preacher, I was out in this community and, listen, I faced it so you'll know. Just so you know, Sharon can verify this. When I went to the first church, and the only other church really I pastored, I was a sister pastor somewhere, and I said, you know, man, God's laid on my heart for a bus ministry. And there was this guy who said, a bus ministry? I said, yeah. Where you run a bus, you go out and you pick up people and you bring them to church. He said, well, they can't get here on their own. I said, well, no, that's why we're going to send a bus together. I don't know. I mean, those things drink the gas, preacher. I'm not worried about no gas. Let me tell you something. Listen, me and him had some words, all right? And I'm not going to tell you all the words we had. I used to not be as nice as I am now. But I let him know in no uncertain terms, all right? This is God's will. And as the pastor of this church, we're going to do it God's way. If we can't go out there and pick those children up and bring them in, why are we here? If we can't get involved in the souls of men, women, boys, and girls, what are we doing here? Say amen with me, folks.
Amen.
I had all kinds of money in the bank, and we're concerned about spending $50 for gas. See, that happens all the time. I'm not bitter about it. The guy finally came over. I mean, we butted head a few times, but you know what? I can work with people. Get you a man who loves people, who loves souls, who wants to get them saved. Then the final person, look at verse number 22. Here's the third person on the finance committee. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Diligent. Diligent. You want someone that's going to be diligent with the finances, all right? So you see what Paul did right here? He told this church, he said, listen, this is what you need. This is a good model to follow. Get you some people that are diligent about God's word. Don't get lazy people on your finance committee that don't want your church to grow. They want it to stay just us, you know, me and my wife, us four, no more, that kind of mentality. You've got to spend money if you're going to grow the ministry. Right? Now, I'm not talking about reckless now. Listen, you folks know what I'm talking about. Yeah, hopefully you know me by now. I'm not talking about reckless, abandoned spending, no thought process, no prayer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that understand that as God sends the money in, He's not sending it here to us. He's sending it here through us. He sends it in that we might, as we seek His will, make good, sound decisions on how to appropriate those funds in ministry to reach people. And that's exactly what's happening here. Now let me give you a second thing, and it'll be short. It'll be shorter than the first thing, I'll guarantee you. So after you select the committee, you get the people, you say, these are the people that understand ministry, they understand the souls, they understand why you do what you do. A wild game supper is not just to have some country boys, some hunters, it's so we can get them the gospel. A men's meeting with a cornhole tournament is not just so we can see who's the best cornhole thrower in these counties, it's so we can give them the gospel. Dr. Mike Edwards came, gave them the gospel, amen? And it could go on and on, you see. We have these things, we sponsor these, we have basketball 3-on-3 tournament. This year we hope we can get Brother Kenny Baldwin to give them the gospel. We just want to keep giving them the gospel. No matter what we do, we just want to keep giving them the gospel. You say, now preacher, are there people being saved? Well, in some of these ministries they are, but in all of them, seeds are being sown. Seeds are being sown, you see. And oftentimes they've got to be sown before they can be watered. I fear that we've come from a generation past where people just kind of sowed, watered, and reaped in the same day. I believe a lot of it was green, but that's not for me to say. I'm just saying we need to be cautious to do our part. We may be sowing the seed, then God may use us to water the seed, but we can be sure of this, God will give the increase. Now, number two, the administration. As these funds are sent in, what are we to expect? Two things in verse 20 and 21 I want you to look at. Verse number 20, you see that first word there, avoiding? Underline it. It's very important. It's a negative word. And then in verse number 21, the first word, providing. Underline it. It's a positive word. Now here's a negative and a positive that happens when you start administrating the funds that God sends in. So I want you to listen carefully. And I'll have a closing thought and we'll be done for tonight. But I want you to please listen to this. So Fellowship Baptist Church is a given people. A given people. I don't know that there's been anything that's come up here where people just haven't said, you know what, I want to give. I want to give to help this brother. I want to give help this ministry. I want to give to help this cause. I want to give to help through Faith Promise Missions. I want to give in our paying off our mortgage. I mean, God has just blessed us with given people. Now, given people are mature, spiritually given people. They're mature people. And so it's very important that we teach people, your heart grows as you learn to give. Your mind grows as you learn to take in. It's important. So you're sitting here tonight, you're taking in. Now, when it comes to giving out, your heart's going to grow as you learn to give. So please listen to me now. If you have not learned the blessing of giving, and it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I hope you've experienced that. I hope you know what I'm talking about. There is just something, you can't even put it into words. And it doesn't always have to be a dollar. You can give of your time. You can give of yourself. You can open up your home. You can just try to reach people. Now, you can give money. You can give things. There's just something about giving that God is all over. I can't explain it. I can't. But I don't know that you can love without giving. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, the very next thing is He gave. The Bible says, you know what? You ought to love your wives, husband. As Christ loved the church and what? Gave. I don't know that it's possible. I'm not saying it's not, but as I study the Scripture, as I live life, as I experience life, I'm really not sure that we can truly love the way God loves, agape love, without giving. Giving is important. I'm not trying to coerce you or to manufacture some kind of pep speech to get you to give to Faith Promise Missions. I'm trying to get you to live God's fullest life that He has for you. Let's become givers. Givers. You say, well, I'm already a giver. Ask God, what more could you do? You say, well, I think I'm maxed out. Well, good. God knows that. Then that's it. Just stay where you are. But now if you're not, or you haven't learned what it is to give, I'd love to invite you to get into this life that is, listen, it's far above just the subpar, normal life. It's a life of giving, to where you just give. It's a life that God blesses. Verse number 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Now, what's he saying? He said, you know, you ought to avoid some things and avoid some difficulty. What's going to do that for you? Good record keeping? Good record keeping? Fact checking? Just check your facts. Brother David and I have talked about it. Brother Benny, we're going to, at some point, Fellowship Baptist Church is going to have to get to the place to where we bring an outside audit. It's just something you do. You say, but now, preacher, why would we do that? Well, just to avoid some things. Isn't that what Paul said? Look at it. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance. You don't want to give people an opportunity to accuse or blame. So what do? You cover your bases. You cover your bases. You think one step ahead of the accusers. Of those who want to find fault in your ministry, you've got to think one step ahead of them. You've got to keep the ministry pure. We have to keep this aspect of the ministry with integrity and transparent. So he said avoid. That's the negative. Now look at the positive. Providing for honest things. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. That's why we have no problem saying, you want to see how the funds were dispersed? Here it is. Here it is right here. Missions, here it is. Sunday school, here it is. Youth, here it is. Juniors, here it is. The general fund, here it is. See, that's the way God wants it done. You say, well, I thought we just decided to do that because it was a preference. No, it's biblical. It's biblical. Every financial institution, but in particular, every church ought to be doing it this way. Amen, brother. So well, I went to a church and we just trust our people. We didn't ask for those. Yeah. Well, that's not a good way to do business. I'm not belittling anyone or anything. I'm just telling you that is not a good way to do business. I'm a Ronald Reagan man. Trust, but verify. Nothing wrong with that. But before I became a Ronald Reagan man, And before I trust what he said, I want to do what this book says. And this book says provide. Provide things. Look at it. Honest. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. It's important. Now I close with this. He said, first of all, he said, select the committee. Get the right people now. It's important. Get the right people. And then second of all, he said, you have to administer the collection. So you select the committee, and then you administer the collection. Once the money comes in, then you sit down, and you get these people that have been selected. You get you a budget. You operate within that budget, and then you handle those funds appropriately. That's God's way. That's God's way. And then every year, people come together. You sit down. You say, okay, let's see what we got here. We got this, 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 and this. Well, is this going to get people saved? Well, we hope it will. We're going to give the gospel there. All right. And then you just go right on down. Right? Right on down. Well, let's see. We're going to have a Veterans Day service. And after the service, we're going to take those men and women out to eat. What's that all about? Well, we're going to give them the gospel when they're here. We're going to try to get them saved, you see. So you look on here. There's nothing on here where we're not trying to get somebody saved. I just want you to know that. And if there is, then I want to know about it so we can do away with it. I want this to stay about the souls of men. First, primarily. Now, if we have fun in the process, great. Right? Great. If people grow in the Lord, great. If it opens up opportunity for ministry, there's many other aspects of why we do what we do, but primarily, it's to get them saved. So, number one, selection of the committee. Number two, the administration of the collection. Then number three, the appreciation of the church. Look at verse 24. Wherefore, show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. What's Paul saying there? He's saying, listen, these men that are taking the gift and these folks that the gift's been taken to, I want you to conduct yourself in such a way that they'll see that you're the real deal. They'll see that you're the real deal. And Paul said, I love you. I appreciate the fact that you're willing to give to this in order to make this offering available to others. And I thought about this. I wrote it down. You know, whether it's personally or where it's publicly, God sure has blessed our church with loving, giving people. He has. And as a pastor, I'm very appreciative of it. Now, I know you don't do it for me. And if you did, I'd be disappointed. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm affected by it. You just don't know how good it makes me as a pastor feel to know, you know what, we've got people that care that people are dying and going to hell. You could be in a church full of people tonight that could care less if people died and went to hell. But thank God we're not. We could be in a church tonight where we're not concerned about Asian people. We're not concerned about African people. We're not concerned about Indian people. Right? Could be, but we're not. So you see, I'm very appreciative of that, and I don't want to take that for granted and think, well, this just happened by accident. No. No. This comes from people seeking God's will, praying, reading the scripture, putting themselves in their Bible, preaching, and wanting to do God's will when it comes to this matter of the Great Commission and world evangelism. Now that's the message God's laid on my heart. God's going to send a lot of money through this ministry, brethren. He is. He is. I can remember a day, and I've told you this before, and Brother Benny can verify this, that me and Brother Benny stood right there in the office, and Brother Benny said, Pastor, we don't have enough money to pay the bills. I said, whoa, man, that's not good. And I looked at him, I said, what you going to do, Brother Benny? Hey, man. Hey, man. I don't think Brother Benny would mind me saying this. Maybe some of you know, Brother Benny, there's been times he's had to pay the bills at the church. And now look what God has done. See, I don't want to take that for granted. I'm giving God all the glory here. I don't want to take that for granted. I don't know how much money will go through this ministry this year, this fiscal year, but I'm going to say a little over $400,000, maybe on upward, over $400,000, close to $500,000. From a man paying the bills to excess of $400,000, $450,000, near $500,000 going through a ministry, I'd say God's in that. And if we continue to stay faithful and we continue to stay humble, there's no telling what God will send through this ministry. He's not sending it to us. God wants to send through it, this ministry, to reach people around the world and in our communities through these ministries so that we can get the gospel to them and get them saved. That's why we're here. That's why the church is this local assembly right here, to get them saved, to give them hope. And so let's be a part of this as a team. All right? I want to encourage you as you stand to your feet. Pray. What does God want you to do? You say, well, preacher, I don't have a lot of money. Well, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you don't have to have a lot of money. God has a lot. And God wants to give you some. But it may not all be for you to keep. So don't you think just because God gave you something, He wants you to keep it. 9 out of 10 times, God wants you to give it away. Amen. For people who have never experienced this, you're going to think this is crazy, but it's so. I enjoy far more what I give away than what I keep. I just do. That's not about me. That's God. Because God does that for you too. Would you begin to pray if you haven't already? God, what do you want me to do about this matter of world evangelism? This grace giving. What is this? Read chapter 8, chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Pray. Ask some questions. Come to me. Come to someone on the mission committee. Come to Brother David. Come to one of our pastors. Come to some people that you've heard stand and testify what God has done in their lives through faith promise giving and faith promise missions. How that God has just met everything and then some. But my God shall supply all your need. That's to a faith promise giving church. Read the context. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. So, well, I'm not rich. God's not counting on your riches. He's got them. He just wants to share them with you. He wants to share them with me. He wants to share them with this ministry. But He wants us to handle what He shares with us properly. All right? Let's bow our heads together.